Welcome to The Bone Beat, conversations on health policy issues affecting musculoskeletal care and supporting advocacy efforts to advance access and quality. Brought to you by the American Association of Orthopedic Surgeons. Here's your host, Kristen Coltis.
Hello and welcome to this first episode of The Bone Beat in the year 2021. The podcast is made possible in part by the support of the Pfizer-Lilly Alliance. In the last episode, we recapped how rapid healthcare policy changed as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. What was legislation one day became law the next. And we ended the episode on a bit of a cliffhanger by saying that we weren't sure how or if Congress would address impending Medicare cuts or surprise billing. Of course, we know now that some of those issues were addressed. But another accomplishment for the healthcare community and for AAOS advocacy specifically that happened just after the holiday in our December episode was passage of the Competitive Health Insurance Reform Act. This essentially repealed a decades-old exemption for health insurance companies from antitrust laws. Here to break down this new law and talk about what it means for orthopedic surgeons is George Slover, who is a senior policy counsel for Consumer Reports. Welcome, George, to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And my co-host today is Catherine Hayes, who you may hear as a familiar voice. She is a AAOS Senior Director of Government Relations. Welcome back, Catherine.
Thanks for having me on.
George, we were talking at the outset about this being sort of a wonky issue to the average orthopedic surgeon that is antitrust. And I know you've spent nearly 30 years in this area. So can you give our listeners some background on why the McCarran-Ferguson Act was problematic for the healthcare marketplace and why it existed in the first place?
Sure. The antitrust laws protect the marketplace by guarantee and make it work better for consumers and for everybody by allowing choices to be offered to consumers. And that incentivizes everybody to try to make their products and services better. It gives consumers the benefit of all of that, and it gives opportunities for people in the marketplace who want to do a better job, build a better mousetrap, figure out a way to provide services better. So putting that healthy effect off limits in the health insurance marketplace created a dam, if you will, and it made it harder for those choices to be available. The health insurers were essentially allowed to act as a monopoly and to decide among themselves what the terms would be that they would offer on a take-it-or-leave-it basis. So they didn't work to make choices better for consumers. They didn't work to make the marketplace easier for providers to deal with. It was all geared toward maximizing the profits of the insurance industry as a whole.
And Catherine, in our industry as the AAOS, of course, our services being musculoskeletal care, it may seem obvious why we would want to repeal an exemption like that. So could you expand on what was happening in Washington to make that happen for this seemingly unfair exemption for health insurers?
As you mentioned, you know, antitrust has been on the top of our advocacy agenda for a very long time. I now have a decade experience at AAOS, and consistently it is something that we had heard from our members as being very harmful to their businesses, especially our smaller practices, and ultimately harmful to the patient because, of course, you know, any additional cost is just passed on to the patient and that is unable to be absorbed by the physician. This particular legislation has been on the books for a couple of Congresses now. And I think the political climate was right for final passage. It had passed the House in the 115th, And it passed again in the 116th. And, you know, we had just kind of been waiting on Senate action for a while. And I think, you know, we were very, very pleased to see it go through finally.
Yeah, what you're touching on is the number of years it takes to even get something like this passed, even with that bipartisan support. And George, that's why we're excited to have you here. You know, you've been working on this for decades yourself. So what, from your perspective, what kind of challenges did the healthcare industry specifically face in getting this law repealed?
So this issue, like we said, has been around for a while, and the antitrust laws have historically had bipartisan support because Republicans who tend to believe in relying on the free marketplace to work recognize that having a competition working under the antitrust laws reduces some of the need for regulation to substitute for that, for a marketplace that's not functioning. And back during the consideration of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, back in 2010, the Republicans sort of had a reawakening or an epiphany, if you will, and this bill, which had been sort of dormant for quite a while, suddenly got legs. The Congress at that time was majority Democrat, but this bill passed overwhelmingly with bipartisan support. There are 435 House members, and it was 410 plus of them voted in support of this bill. And that happened again under a Republican majority in 2017, and it has happened again this year. It never really took off in the Senate, I think, just because, not because there was an opposition to it, but just because they were busy doing other things and all of the pieces just didn't come together the way that they should. But I think there was always sort of a recognition among the sponsors that the time would hopefully come when they could consider it. And it did in the fall of this past year.
And now it's been passed. It's been signed into law by the president, and we'll be really eyeing how it's implemented and how it affects the healthcare industry. Catherine, I want to go back to you because you know, the repeal of the McCarran-Ferguson law is just one aspect of antitrust reform that we as an association work towards. And I really liked how George was speaking to that balance of competition and regulation. So my question for you is, how does our involvement with this law and in this area of healthcare policy, how does it align with some of the other goals of the AAOS?
I think that's a great question. I think one of our primary goals, if not the primary goal of AAOS, is to ensure that the physician-patient relationship is preserved. We don't want the United States government or any state government to have too much power over things like what drugs are prescribed, what procedures we're allowed to do. And we certainly don't want insurance companies to have that power. And, you know, George earlier alluded to some of the, you know, making sure that insurance companies put together packages that are consumer friendly. And I think, you know, breaking down some of the monopolies that may exist across the country when it comes to health insurance companies, I think will help encourage those companies to build good packages for patients and to allow patients to get the care that they need from the doctors that they would like to get that from. So we see this as something that aligns very well with our advocacy agenda, and we're very hopeful for some of the relief that it may provide.
That's an excellent way of putting it. And I know that that healthy balance of choice and competition has always been a priority of the AAOS. George, I want to go back to you because of your experience in this realm. You know, obviously, we can't predict how this law is going to be implemented or enforced. But what impact do you think it will have on healthcare? We've danced around it a little bit, but even if you could give us a specific example relating to an orthopedic surgeon or maybe the impact with regard to hospitals, how do you see this changing healthcare in this year and the years to come?
Yes, so that's a good question. I think the way that the antitrust laws work is there has to be a violation of the law and an investigation and enforcement action to actually sort of come out into the open. But underneath it all, what the presence of the antitrust laws does is to change the operative incentives in the marketplace for health insurance companies. You may be familiar with meetings of your association where you're talking about common interests, and there will be an antitrust lawyer, antitrust counsel on hand to sort of advise the association to make sure that you all stay within the bounds of what it's okay to talk about and how you're able to talk about it. And the health insurance industry has not had to do that because they haven't had to worry about the antitrust laws. Now they're going to have to pay attention to that, and they're going to have to be careful not to work in cahoots with each other to decide how they're going to offer choices to providers such as your organization, your members. So it's going to allow for your members to, there's going to be more opportunities for networks that that can be more inclusive. There's going to be potentially more opportunity for your members to join multiple networks. There's going to be more opportunities for them to help reform billing practices so that they are more efficient and friendly for your members. All the kinds of things that where your members confront an insurance company that says, look, that's our policy, take it or leave it, that's how we operate, you have to do what we say. All of those things are going to be more open now to being revisited by the existing insurance companies and by new insurance companies who come in and say, well, we can do better than that. We've heard from the orthopedic surgeons and the other doctors that they are very frustrated with the current options that they've got, and we're going to offer them a new and better option. So over time, the marketplace is going to open up, if you will, and provide more opportunities. There's one other thing that, if I could, I wanted to mention from earlier, which is part of what allowed this to happen now was that there were people who care about this issue, consumer groups like ours, and also provider groups who are on the other end of this and are seeing its effects, who stood poised and ready to act when the time was right. And that includes your association. It includes other provider associations who kept this issue on one of the burners, maybe not the front burner because it was filled with other things, but it was always on Congress's radar. And so when the time came, when they could move, they were ready to do so.
Yeah, going back to one of the things you just said, George, and I want to emphasize this for our members who may be unclear. When you're talking about this exemption that was just repealed on and signed into law on January 13th, that was not an exemption for the whole healthcare industry. It was specific to health insurers, right?
That's correct. It was only the health insurers in the entire healthcare industry had this exemption. Everybody else in the healthcare marketplace and really in the entire economy has to follow the basic rules of the free marketplace, which are competition has to be allowed to work its magic, and the antitrust laws are there to protect its ability to do so. The health insurance industry was an anti-competitive eddy where those rules did not apply. And so that created the logjam that benefited the insurance, the health insurance industry, their ability to act as a monopoly at the expense of everybody else who was dealing with them, both consumers and providers.
That's a really important distinction for our listeners because, and thank you for clarifying that, just because it's something that our members face in their practices, and it's something that Catherine and I message to our orthopedic surgeons, how and why that exemption existed and how unfair it was. Our surgeon members are leading the care of their patients and really leading that care model. So Catherine, I want to get your input on this because you've been talking with legislators. How do you position this antitrust exemption with insurers with sort of everything else going on? You know, we already talked about increasing hospital competition and choice. We talked about ensuring network adequacy. But when we look at the exemption that exists for insurers, you know, how do we frame this problem for legislators and why it needs to be fixed?
I think, you know, especially with everything that happened with the pandemic and how things have turned out with COVID-19, you know, a lot of legislators were looking at the profits of the healthcare, the health insurance companies and wondering why, you know, in a time when so much of our economy was faltering, a lot of these health insurance company policies were skyrocketing. Their profits were skyrocketing. I think that, you know, it kind of shed some light onto some of the unfair advantages that that these companies, insurance companies, have had over physicians and over patients for really quite some time. And I think, you know, we did some very targeted outreach to the Senate at the very end to just, you know, remind people on a one-off basis how critical it was to have a level playing field between these two parties, between the physicians and between all healthcare providers versus the insurance companies that do, you know, provide a lot of care for them, and a lot of their income comes from insurance companies. And I think it was just critical to point out to everyone, you know, the unlevel playing field that currently existed.
This is a very positive accomplishment indeed for our surgeon members. And George, as we look to the 117th Congress and the year ahead, it seems like overall a very positive win for the entire healthcare industry. So, what is your outlook on the months ahead as this begins to trickle down and affect individual practices?
So, I am a longtime believer in the beneficial effects of the antitrust laws. I think it's been unfortunate that for so long they haven't been able to reach into the health insurance industry. I think now that they do, the warm winds of competition are going to have a very beneficial effect on the healthcare marketplace for patients and for providers.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds, certainly, especially with that surprise billing legislation being enacted earlier this year as well. So thank you, George, for sharing your expertise on this topic. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. It was my pleasure.
And Catherine, thanks for coming back. You and I have got a lot to delve into in episodes ahead for the 117th Congress. So looking forward to that with you as well.
Absolutely.
And our listeners can look out for those future episodes airing on the last Tuesday of every month. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Bone Beat from the American Association of Orthopedic Surgeons. For more information on this topic and other AAOS efforts to shape the future of musculoskeletal care, please visit aaos.org/advocacy.